Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Mia. How are you?
Good morning. I am wonderful. Thank you.
What a treat to have you here. You're filling in for Roxanne this morning.
I am.
Of course, Roxanne is kind of on a special assignment.
Yes, she is.
But she'll be back.
She will.
Wonderful to have you here with me this morning. I'm so
excited. Thank you. Me too.
It's my favorite time of year because it's spring.
Yes.
And it's Woo-hoo. Heating up.
Yes, it is.
And I'm loving it.
Me too.
Catch me in about 4 weeks, see if I feel the same way. But right now, this is where I am, right? And you know what, Mia? We always have such interesting, wonderful guests, people who are doing amazing things in our community to support. And this morning, we do not disappoint because we've got some beautiful ladies here. We've got Athena and Amanda here from CA Help, H-E-L-P, who are going to join us to talk about a wonderful project that they've got going on. So, ladies, welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne this morning, Regina and Mia.
Yes.
Happy to have you here. So we want to jump in. Can you tell us a little bit, give us a brief history, some background on CA Help?
I can. So I'm Athena. CA Help, and not to be CalHelp that a lot, but CA Help actually stands for California Association of Health and Education Linked Professions. We are a JPA, which means that we've got a lot of things happening under one roof as a joint powers authority. We have our Desert Mountain SELPA, we have our Charter SELPA, and then we have our Desert Mountain Children's Center, which mostly would probably be known in the community for servicing students in the schools and some home visits as well. We have amazing clinicians that go out and do really good work for our kiddos.
Right.
And then our SELPA and our Charter SELPA, it's really to support special education in the school districts, classrooms, and to support district employees, families, kids with whatever they need, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of a one-stop shop, if you think
about
it.
Yeah, and you guys were here with us last year, I believe.
We were.
And kind of gave us a deep dive into who you are and what you do. But you're here today because you're talking about something that's really kind of special and relatively new. And it is called Fostering Futures. It's a podcast that you have, right?
Yes.
So tell me, what inspired the launch of that?
Ooh, Amanda. Well, we're coming up on a year.
Okay.
Of it being out there for everybody to hear. It was kind of during COVID where we couldn't connect with everybody. So everybody kind of started thinking, how can we reach the community when we're not allowed to be in person?
Right.
And unfortunately, it took us a little bit after COVID, but we started this great
committee.
Yeah. And now we've had it launching and we are full force where we're recording episodes for next year as well.
Wow.
And we have a lot of internal speakers within our organization and also a lot of external. And the external ones are the ones that I find extremely fascinating along with our internal. But we now have this really cool mini episode that's turned into a big episode. And
It was. We had this. Actually, one of our coworkers had this amazing idea. Shout out to Craig for a foster series, a mini series. And then as we started booking interviews, it turned into more than a mini series. I think we've got 8 episodes now focused on foster youth. It just really turned into something amazing. And we met really, really great people.
And that's what I want to ask. So you were talking about, because the title of it is Fostering Futures, which is powerful in itself, right? But what does that really represent, and who do you hope that the podcast reaches?
So in our foster series, you would think Fostering Futures has everything to do with foster youth, but to be honest, it was more based on our mission statement, which is the relentless pursuit of whatever works in the life of a child. Mm. And so all of our services are based on how we could help students reach their full potential and then help their families as well. That's where that title came from.
And I want to just go back because I hope that our listeners didn't miss that. But your mission statement is what?
the relentless pursuit of whatever works in the life of a child.
Oh, my God. Mm. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. So what gap or what were you seeing in the community that made you decide this was a possible way to go and fill?
The question is asking why we decided for the podcast to take place. Mm-hmm. I think it was more of sharing free resources, and especially resources where the schools might not know, or families, because our gear is to special education, behavioral health, social emotional well-being, and the community.
Okay.
And within our, I think we have 15 or 16 episodes released, we talk about potty talk from children birth to 2 years old. Mm-hmm. We have a speech and language. We have autism. We have parents that have walked the process of an IEP. So it's just a broad range of, I think being a parent myself, I love listening to some of these that touch base where I wouldn't know, oh, okay, I want to know how to get my child to speak, or when's the appropriate time to walk, where we have an OT and a PT therapist tell you, like, what you should do.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. I want to get a little bit personal here. What drew both of you to this type of work?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I've worked in education with students from K through 12 since I was 20. So a good 20.
And she looks 22.
She does. I will come back and do another interview. You don't have to flatter it. It's been about 23, 25 years. So, wow. And I can't walk away from it. I tried higher education for a while. It did not do the same thing for me that K through 12 system does. Mm-hmm. And so just coming into SELPA to be able to be in the classroom, working with teachers, seeing how it affects students, how it can benefit students, and then most importantly, getting all of those resources out to parents, because there's so much that people don't know exists. And you don't know where to look. And then on our side of it, we feel like there's so much. How do we get it out there?
Right.
That's the gap, I think, that we were trying to fill, is not just that we have it, but how do people actually receive it?
Yeah. What about you, Amanda?
I started in the behavioral health side with Desert Mountain Children's Center. And then I promoted to virtual compliance. And virtual compliance means we're making sure that the website and all content is for anybody with an ability or a disability that is fair share to reading access, vision, hearing.
Okay.
And I just happened to get lucky and jump on the podcast committee. And Athena and I work really close together, as you can see.
Yes.
We like each other most days.
Yeah, most of the time.
But that's called family.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, nice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think the podcast brought together people in our organization that didn't usually get to work together around this really special thing. We've got to know each other. We have a really strong foundation for how we make decisions. We don't always agree, mm-hmm. but we want what's best. We have our own commitment to the podcast that we stick to every single meeting. And it all goes back to, like Amanda said, just what we hoped for education, for special education, just for kids in the community in general.
Well, it sounds like to me, and a little bit of a shout out, because we're still in Women's History Month, but it sounds like to me both of you have landed in a space where professionally what you have acquired in experience and knowledge, right, you're able to use, but you come to this work most importantly with compassion.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that is, would it be fair to say that that's a driver
it
for
is.
You?
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't even listen to podcasts. I just wasn't that kind of person to listen to a podcast. I don't consider myself a people person. I think I'm kind of an introvert. But with the work that I get to do, you know, my current role, I do get to talk to a lot of really awesome people.
Yes.
And I get to ask a lot of great questions, and that information gets to go to, you know, different places. So this is a good fit. I do love it now, but in the beginning I did have to be talked into it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't say she was talked into it. She was voluntold to do it. She just happens to sit in the same mm-hmm. office space, and it was yelling down the hallway, "Hey, Athena, come here. We're voluntelling you. You're going to do this."
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. That is exactly what happened.
And when she says she's an introvert, she's completely not. Like, you see us now, you get us together, and
It took a minute, though.
It did.
It took a minute.
Well, like anything,
yeah.
You know, you kind of charting new territory, you know, and so you what you think you may expect and what the experience is a lot of times turns out to be very, very different, right?
And it was.
Right, so yeah. Let me ask this. What kind of conversations or stories can we expect to hear?
Oh, my gosh. I think the most impactful ones to date, and they're all good, are the ones that come straight from the person who's lived the experience. For the foster series, we have two young adults who actually went through the foster
yes.
series. They're probably already two of my favorite people. I would do anything for them just from meeting them in that short period of time. Just really awesome. I did have my son listen to that episode, and he wants to meet them. So you just to get the feeling behind it. We also go from, you know, simple things parents can do at home to get ready for the school year or,
right.
you know, behaviors you notice that, you know, there's something going on, but you're not sure. You're not the expert. Who do you go to? Who do you call?
I love that.
Community resources, you know, clothing, food, anything like that where parents can connect. If you're, you know, Spanish speaking and you feel like you want to ask, but you don't know where you can receive some of that, we have a great outreach team that can help with those kinds of things. So it's hard to pick. It's really hard
yeah.
to pick. We get to talk to so many people.
Yeah. And what about for you, Amanda?
I would have to say during this, I'm going to go. All of our episodes are amazing, by the way. So if you've missed any, please feel free to go to Buzzsprout, Spotify, and listen on Fostering Futures. You can Google it. It's also on our website.
Okay.
You would go just on the right, fly up menu, and you'll see where it says podcast.
And so give us that website.
CAHelp.org.
Okay. Yes. Simple enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you can go to DMCC.org.
All right. I just have a quick question for you. What about parents that are thinking about going to be, you know, foster parents, something they've thought about a long time? What would you say to them? Because a lot of things you're saying right now, there's different needs. Some parents, is it like, do they get foster kids that may have special needs where they have, you know, these conditions or something? And then are there other ones that don't have that situation where they'll foster children that don't have these special needs?
Yes.
I mean, how does that work? I mean, I understand what you're saying with those who may have the needs for like potty training and things where they don't know parents are learning. But what about those in between? I mean, what do you tell parents or those who want to be in the foster you know, community and want to become foster parents? What can they expect?
I think it's such a great question. I think one of our guests explained it best when she said, actually both of them, they said, don't think of this as a short period of time, because usually you're placed with the foster family for, what is it, 6 months at a time. Think of it as like a landmark on that kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's really forever. It's something that can affect them forever. So mm-hmm. if you're not thinking about how you can impact that kiddo forever, pause for a second and think about that. And then as far as the services or what a child might need.
Yes.
You never know. I mean, you can receive a foster child and they have never been assessed. And you're the first one to notice
true.
That there's a behavior or something going on.
Okay.
And then you need to reach out to the school or see a help, you know, someone to help you figure out what's going on.
And that's where some of those resources
exactly.
that you're talking about, you guys have knowledge of, access to.
Yes.
That's how we get connected, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's for all parents, not just foster parents.
Yeah.
Some parents look up one day, they've had all these plans for their kid, and then they realize something's not going according to that plan we all make, right, as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stop for a second and kind of reevaluate and just make a new plan. But that's hard. That's a hard thing to do.
Within our organization, we service children for mental health and behavioral counseling. We do autism, behavioral intervention, assistive technology. But we're an LEA for the schools. So we work alongside with the school districts.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How can our listeners get involved, learn more, you know, feel like this is a trusted source so they can reach out and start to get those things they need? Because, you know, school, when I went to school a long time ago, nobody laughed, but when I went to school, it was very different, right? Now it really is a team sport, meaning that it's got to be the student, the parent, the school, community. It's got to be all of that for the success of our kids, right? It just does not work. I have not seen it work any other way. And I don't care how ambitious the parent is and how well educated the parent is. Our system, our school system, has really changed. The dynamics by which it works, it has really changed. And so it really is that team sport.
It is.
So how can listeners get involved? Can they reach out, visit the website? Can they make calls for appointments to come in and say, here's where I'm finding myself? I'm not even sure what I need. Yes. I don't even know where to start.
I would have them first reach out to their district, whatever school they're enrolled in, reach out to the district and go to the district level, and the district should be able to provide them the resources that are needed. If not, you may come and look at CA Help's website, and we do resource outsources as well.
And just as a basic point, just like you said, reach out to the district, right? Okay, so me as a parent, you say reach out to the district. Who do I call at the district? I just talk to the operator on the phone?
I would start with your school. Okay. I would go straight in to the school, whoever the nice lady is sitting behind the desk that gets the answers the phones and gets all the questions. I would go straight, or gentlemen, I would go straight to that person, say, I need some information about XYZ and some things I don't know. Who can you point me towards? And they usually will be able to give you a list of folks, just depending on what you're saying.
And so that's a good starting point.
Yes.
To me, a mantra for us to just live our lives is learn, connect, and understand.
Every day, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
As things are growing and expanding, we hope you come back and share.
We would love
to. And I promise you, Amanda, that I will share. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, Mia, again.
Good morning.
Yeah. Glad to be back and having this very special guest here with us today, here in his professional capacity, because we spent a great deal of time last year talking with this gentleman on a very personal level. And I was really, really excited about that, and words still can't express how much I appreciate that. But today he is here with us in his professional capacity. So joining us is Darren Polson. He's the CEO of the Victor Valley Water Reclamation Authority. And we are just happy for you being here today. You've got some wonderful things you want to share. And so we want to get to talking about all three of those things, right? And provide as much insight and detail as we can. So thank you for being here. Yes. Welcome back.
Regina and Mia, good to meet you today. Really enjoy the time I get to spend with you, Regina, and the time we get to put on the air. Both you and I have such a passion for the community that we live in, right?
Yes.
I mean, the High Desert has been my home now for over 60 years. And
just,
super passionate about the people, super passionate to be in the capacity I have today to serve our communities. And just excited that you invited me back to talk a little bit about our organization and some of the really cool things that we're doing.
Yeah, because you guys got some wonderful things going on. So can you share just a little bit before we really do a deeper dive into those things you want to talk about your role and the Victor Valley Water Reclamation Authority? What exactly you guys do for our community?
Absolutely. So the Victor Valley Reclamation Wastewater Reclamation Authority, VVWRA.
Yes.
I'm the general manager there today, and today our organization operates three wastewater treatment plants. A very large wastewater treatment plant down along the Mojave River, basically along Air Expressway, just close to the river, right where the old George Air Force Base used to be. And that regional plant today takes wastewater flows from the town of Apple Valley, the city of Victorville, the city of Hesperia, Spring Valley Lake, and Oro Grande. All of the wastewater that's collected in those cities and those cities' sewer systems ultimately finds its way to our facilities, right, where we take that wastewater, and we treat it and process solids, and we're able to actually produce three very, green, renewable energy sources and some great resources, right? So from wastewater, we produce recycled water, which is a high-quality water that's used to recharge our underground aquifer. The solids move over into digesters, which ultimately produce a methane gas that, along with our partner Energia, we clean that gas and re-inject natural gas, renewable natural gas, back into the Southwest Pipeline. So today, your homes, anybody living here in the high desert, it's high likely that during the summertime, when not a lot of gas goes towards heating but gets focused in maybe just cooking, you're very likely using natural gas produced at my wastewater treatment plant to cook your food. And then lastly, the solids, right? The material that ultimately gets pulled out of the wastewater. We dry it out. We test it. And ultimately, those materials get hauled to farms where they produce feed crops for animals, and they utilize that material as fertilizer to re-amend the soil. So from wastewater to those three really great resources, that's the primary role we have. Like I said, the major plant in Victorville along the old George Air Force Base, and then two sub-regional facilities, one in Hesperia off of Maple, just north of Maine, and one in Apple Valley at Brewster Park. So.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And so, Darren, can you, because you guys are an award-winning agency, right?
Regina, you know, we take a lot of pride in what we do, and one of the things that we enjoy doing is submitting for these awards so that we can share with our public just how much we care and how much we value, you know, what we do and how important it is, right? We've won awards for community outreach. Mm-hmm. We've won awards for being a recycled water deliverer and user of recycled water. We won a worldwide award for this renewable natural gas process that I just explained to you,
yes,
where we competed against organizations from all over the world. We beat a company from Saudi Arabia,
whoa,
one from India. We work very hard at what we do, and even though we're kind of a small to medium-sized organization, great things are happening in Victorville on the wastewater side.
Now,
for
I'm going to
sure.
ask you before we dive into the reason that you're actually here today, there's some important things that you want to share with us and talk about. But I before we go there, I want to ask why this work is so important to the region, okay? Because you're getting awards for it. It is very innovative, I would say. And so why is this work so important to our region?
You know, wastewater processing that we do today is something that the public, for the most part, just takes for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It ends up, you know, something they flush or what's in their sink or from their
right.
dishwasher. Nobody really thinks about where it goes. And historically, if you look back in time with regards to what they thought about wastewater in the past, right, if you can remember some of the old movies you ever watch, somebody just grabbing a chamber pot and throwing it out their window, right, and landing in the streets of old England or whatever movie
right.
you're watching, right? You know, by not treating that water, by not taking care of that waste, you create an environment that is absolutely, you know, very potent with regards to creating disease, right?
Right.
I mean, they
right.
can point to the cause of the Black Plague really kind of focusing on poor wastewater management.
Right.
right.
That's right.
And it really didn't even really clean up to something significant until the Clean Water Act, which was actually formed in 1972.
Wow.
Right. Victor Valley Wastewater Reclamation Authority was actually created because of that. There were places where you used to just let wastewater go. It'd sit in a pond. You'd let it dry out, and then you'd kind of scoop it up and haul it away. That was all they ever did. The water that they put into the ground still contained a lot of those contaminants,
mm-hmm.
wow.
ultimately, that you know, comes in wastewater. So a lot of rules have changed today with regards to, you know, permits and regulatory agencies that mm-hmm. we are bound by to process wastewater to a certain degree and a certain level to where it is safe to put back into the ground for
right.
ultimately for the ground just naturally kinds of treats it. Right, so that somebody's well a few miles downstream of where we're discharging could actually pump it out of the ground because it can take years, if not decades sometimes, to get to their wells because it just travels that slow. But in that process, it cleans it up, and it's safe to drink at that point. So we provide a very vital resource with regards to making sure that our region has, you know, water, right, with regards to
has
filling our basins.
And also keeps us healthy.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because
also
we take care of it.
Also keeps us healthy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We thank you for that. So let's talk about what's coming up. I understand that you guys got a special Earth Day event happening on Saturday, April 18th. Tell me a little bit about that and what community
yeah.
can expect.
So this is our third annual Earth Day and open house event. It's a combination of both, right? So that day, if you come out to our facility between 10:30 and 1:30 p.m., we invite the public to come out. The first 200 people that will arrive will get a shirt.
Mm.
They'll also get a nice lunch ticket for a barbecue beef or chicken sandwich.
Ooh.
That day, our partner, the VVTA, is helping us out. They're going to bring a few buses. And
great.
We're We're going to drive people around the plant so they can be, we can point out, you know, what's going on in the facility so they can see what treatment processes we're doing and where we're doing it. So you'll not only get a tour of our facility, but the Athens American Organics facility, which is also on our property.
Yes.
They process green waste. So green waste today can be brought in, can kind of be all chopped up into mulch. But they do a very similar process what you do with regards to adding oxygen to it and kind of breaking it down, because they can produce a very high quality fertilizer from green waste. So we are kind of a really nice green corridor down there at my treatment plant where we're doing a lot of things, all things sustainable. So we invite other partners like the Mojave Water Agency and the City of Victorville and the Town of Apple Valley and Athens and Burtek. We'll have a lot of people out there talking about water conservation and trash and what Earth Day is all about. So we'll have nice booths that people can come visit. The kids can come. We'll have face painting for free. We'll have the ability for them to paint on some rocks. My staff will be there to answer questions and talk about some of the equipment that we have on site. It's really just our opportunity to open our doors to the public and really bring them in and just show them what we do for them every day.
I love it. So they can come and tour and learn and
yes.
and have fun and get a free lunch.
Get a free lunch.
All of that. I love it. And I think it's a wonderful day for families, especially for our kiddos, right?
Yes.
To learn a lot.
Absolutely.
Right? You know,
I'm fascinated by all this.
I'm sure Mia's going to come.
Oh,
I'm,
yes.
I'm just I'm confident. So you got that going on. And again, that's April 18th. What's the time on that?
So the public is invited out between 10:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m.
Okay. All right. And then, you know what? You're doing something else now. You're investing in this next generation. I'm really excited about that. Let's talk to us about that. You've got a new high school and a Victor Valley College, I understand, internship program?
Yeah. So as I'm, you know, in my latter years of my career and I look to retire, the one thing that I've recognized in my industry today is that about 65% of the people in my industry today can actually retire. Mm. They're all of retirement age.
That's a high number.
It's a really high number of potential vacancies within my industry today. Mm. And these are not jobs in the water and wastewater field that most people even know about, right? I was very fortunate in my career to get introduced to it very young by somebody else who basically just said, Aaron, why don't you come try to do this? You wanted to be a civil engineer. Did you ever think about, you know, getting into the water industry? And thankfully, I moved into that path. But it's been so good to me, and it is so rewarding with regards to, you know, if you are a, you know, have a desire to be a public servant, if you have a desire to give back to the environment, most people don't see this as a path to giving back to their community. These are jobs that are super secure, right? I mean, you know, the need for wastewater treatment, the need to treat and produce water, you know, high quality drinking water for the public, the need never goes away.
It's
right?
Lifetime.
That's right.
Darren, as always, great to have you here. Yes. I'm so glad you came to visit us. And you know, you have an open invitation anytime you want to come back and share. And maybe we can talk about what these programs are looking like, especially this course program that you have over at VVC. We can kind of get an update on how that's going.
I think that would be fun. The other thing is I would love to grab one of these interns, right? Let's
yes.
bring them in here and
oh,
see if we can't put them on the spot,
Let's
right?
Do it.
And I've got a person exactly in mind for this job.
I'm gonna
hit
happen.
Her up this afternoon when I get back, because she would be great
Let's
to talk
make
about
that
her
happen.
Experience.
So we'll make that a date.
All right,
Darren. Again, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you and your agency for all that you do for the High Desert.
Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Mia.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.